What a happy Monday, Bucks fans. 2-0 atop the NFC South, all alone. Your Buccaneers, my Buccaneers. Wow, wow, wow. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast, and we are presented by Discount Garage Doors and Bill Curry Ford. You know, I don't even know what to say. I barely slept last night. I'm so fired up, like so many of you. Everywhere you turn, you've got national attention on the Buccaneers. It's fun. It's Fitzmagic. And it's deserved. And that's the best part, right? 2-0. We were 2-0 in 2010. Beat the Browns, and they beat the Panthers with their young team. Raheem's race to 10, and they were 2-0. But who did they beat? They beat Jake Delhomme and a combination of Matt Moore and Jimmy Clausen. I would think that Drew Brees and Super Bowl winner Nick Foles, who has a career-winning record and has been to a Pro Bowl, those guys are a little bit better, and that's what makes this real. Look at that defensive line of the Eagles. Look at it. We just scored a ton of points on that Eagles defense and held up well. It's not going to be perfect. It's not supposed to. Good teams go out and win games in many different ways, and here you have the Bucks winning a shootout. This was a little bit more of a slugfest. Very tight game through the first half. And it's all good right now if you're a Bucks fan. It is all good in so many ways. But there's a lot to consider. There's a lot of angles here. And, of course, whether you like it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whatever, there is a brewing massive quarterback controversy that's coming. Of course, it won't be a controversy if the Bucks keep winning. Then there's no controversy at all. But it's not realistic to think this team goes 16-0, but it's a controversy for the organization, because do you really think that if the Bucks do stick with Fitz and they get to 4-2, or dare I say even 5-1, but let's just stick with 4-2 for the example. Just for the example, I'm all in with the Bucks. So just saying, for example, you've got to, if you make a switch to Jameis Winston, whenever it is, you somehow need to find complete buy-in from the players and an ownership group that has three guys making the decisions together, and Jason Light and Dirk Cutter. That might be tough to do, because look at all the opinions that would be out there among Bucks fans. You know, these guys in charge are people too, and it's a very difficult decision, because probably the worst thing that could happen, the worst thing the Bucks could do, is to move to Jameis before everybody thinks that's the right move. And then you've instantly put all this pressure on Jameis, and one bad game and the town and the team is probably going to be fractured. That's just how it is. You switch to Jameis and, you know, whatever, he doesn't have a good game, then what? You just can't do it too early. You have to do it when the time is just right. This is going to be the great challenge for Dirk Cutter. And again, hopefully there is no challenge, because they're not going to do anything until Fitz sputters. You know, you watched, maybe you watched on NFL Network last night, you had LaDainian Tomlinson and Sterling Sharp and Deion Sanders talking about this. And, you know, there was speculation, hey, maybe Fitz has to have a couple of clunkers in a row. What's the expiration date? And that's really such a tough question. Such a tough question. And do you want to put undue crazy pressure on Jameis when he does come back? Because you know how it's going to go if he has a bad day. So that's your challenge, Dirk Cutter. Your challenge, of course, is to just keep winning. Win on Monday night against the winless Pittsburgh Steelers. But there's a lot to consider here with the quarterback. I don't want to get too into it today, because let's just enjoy this. Let's just enjoy this. But know that that's lingering, the when and the how and the masterful way that this needs to be done. Big challenge for Dirk Cutter ahead. Big, big challenge ahead on this quarterback situation. Big question for the organization, and there's a lot that goes into it, you know. But right now, it's a non-issue. You can't touch this. You'd lose the respect of the team if you made any kind of change too hastily, with Fitz playing good football on the heels of these two amazing games. Even if he just plays well, he just plays pretty well, doesn't turn the ball over, whatever. You heard Rondé Barber, I went back and listened to the broadcast, talk about how Fitz doesn't play like Jameis. He doesn't make those mistakes out of not relaxing, about being too hyped up. Basically, Fitz is more patient as a quarterback in his decision making, not in his demeanor in the huddle and all that, but in his decision making. A lot of decisions for the Bucs. Now, your best decision is two things. First, you need to go to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. And right there, you are going to see incredible new opportunity from Tampa's first family of Ford. They are proud to announce a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Unlimited years, unlimited miles, plus 10-year roadside assistance, plus, my favorite, one-year complimentary service, meaning the necessary service on your vehicle to maintain that warranty. Just see General Manager Sean Sullivan. He's the new GM at Bill Curry Ford to receive your Joe Bucks fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing and the new lifetime warranty. So just get in touch with General Manager Sean Sullivan, big Bucks fan, and just tell him you heard about Bill Curry Ford on Joe Bucks Fan or one of the podcasts. Bill Curry Ford has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years, and I was actually looking at all the fine print of the warranty. And there's no real catch here or anything like that, no gimmick. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. Better yet, reach out to Sean Sullivan after you find a car online. That's the way to do it. Now, Discount Garage Doors is our other great sponsor. Discount Garage Doors website, DGDoors.com. You get a seven-day-a-week opportunity for a free diagnosis. They'll come to your home, look at your problem garage door, or give you an assessment on a new one, and they can fix it with their trained technicians, or you can price them against anyone else you want. Same day free service call, 7 days a week. Discount Garage Doors is all over the Tampa Bay area and beyond, 18 counties across Florida. This is a local company, 20 years serving the community local. So it's not one of these big national chains. You're going to get great service. And their name says it all. Discount Garage Doors. Great opportunity there. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And their website really has great coupons and great videos and really just a lot of great information about why you need to maintain your garage door and how it can even help you sell your home. So Discount Garage Doors, DGDoors.com. Now, the game yesterday, the best part for me, simply put, the very best part was the fast start. That's the only way this team or any good team rolls. You got to come out and stick it to them. You got to put the wood on the other team in all your energy, in your mindset, in your everything you do. And the Bucks did that. Hats off to Dirk Cutter finding a way to get this team rolling out of the gate. You know, the change in the play by Fitz, recognizing the corner blitz. And they made a huge deal about Peyton Barber picking it up, and I appreciate that. Wasn't exactly the most impressive blitz pickup in the world, but Fitz recognized it, made the call. DeSean Jackson, look, he's got, still has elite wheels. Still has elite wheels. If you go to the Next Gen Stats at NFL.com, that's where they have the tracking devices and the ball and in the uniforms, all that technology. If you go to the Next Gen Stats out of week one, you had DeSean Jackson ranking among the fastest guys in the NFL, which is no surprise. And now week two, I haven't pulled it up yet. Maybe I'll do it during the podcast here. But Jackson's elite speed, and you can't trick the computers as far as, you know, it's miles per hour kind of stuff. He's right there. He's there in the top 10 in this league in speed. And somehow, some way, and we know how they did it, Jason Light built a team that has three number one wide receivers on it. Three of them. And yes, Jackson clocked 20.5 miles an hour, and that was on his 75-yard run in week two, which would be yesterday. And let's see, that puts him among wide receivers, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, ninth fastest clocked this year among wide receivers. And one of those, actually two of those, was on a kickoff. Different speed opportunity there. So D-Jax is right there with the elite speed. And you know what? He was clocked at 20.45, which keeps him right up there last week. So he is all over that speed chart. There's a third entry too. So you've got a guy with elite speed who now is comfortable in the offense and loves his quarterback. Mike Evans, strong start to the season. We all know what he can do. And Chris Godwin, one of the most impressive plays in that game yesterday is Godwin catching a ball. That's about a 15-yard pass. And he gets about 6 or 7 yards of after the catch, 6 or 7 yards of yak. 4 Eagles were needed to take him down on a simple catch. And you go back and find that play. Maybe I'll highlight it this week on JoeBucksFan.com. But that's the difference between Godwin and Mike Evans right there. Mike Evans goes down easily, just the way it is, and that's okay. No receiver is perfect. He's easy to get down. Godwin, totally different animal. He's playing the game like a linebacker once he gets that football in a lot of ways. We saw his downfield blocking, and he's just a special receiver, and now he's got two touchdowns. And is it a stretch to call him a number one receiver? Maybe, but maybe not. And so the Bucs have three. Now, when you have three number one receivers, how the hell is another team supposed to cover that? Three. Easiest way is to rush the passer like a madman, and the Bucs' pass blocking was not perfect, but it was very, very good. And the running backs block well, and Fitz is recognizing everything. And throw in the tight end there. You've got great tight end options, and you know the Bucs are so dangerous. They're for real. Is there a team that you can see right now that they're not going to score 28 points on? I mean, I think this Bucs team can average 28 to 30 points a game and be a top five scoring team that's going to win you a lot of games. Now, there are plenty of aspects to football, but if this team can continue to put the points up, it's very, very exciting. And one thing I would like to see, which we didn't see yesterday, and we don't want to gloss over everything negative, these guys can't run the ball to burn the clock out, and they got a little too conservative. I don't understand why they didn't spread 4 wide and then run the ball. Make a little more room for Peyton Barber. Keep the Eagles guessing. You're going to run it anyway. What's the difference? Spread them out and ram it up the gut, up Jensen. But they weren't doing that. They were show and run all the way. They wanted their guys to win. Hey, we're coming, and you can't stop us. But that didn't work because the Eagles did stop them over and over and over again. But Fitzpatrick, there's really not much for me to say. It's obvious how incredible he's been playing. Has he really made a mistake all year? It's sad that was an interception that he threw yesterday with O.J. Howard not pulling in the ball and then flipping it up in the air. So, you know, Mike Evans with a drop. I really don't see Fitz throwing a bad ball. Has he had a near interception? I mean, it's incredible what the guy's done, and we're all the beneficiary of it. I want to totally change gears here and hit on a few things. I try to go some different angles in the podcast and not just sort of regurgitate everything else out there. And well, I'm just being myself, but I always want to make sure I give you something a little bit different. A few things you might not have heard. First, Jason Light was on the Buccaneers radio network right before kickoff doing his usual interview. And he told kind of a neat story of how Ryan Jensen came to him after the first game in the locker room and essentially said, in not the Kirk Cousins way, but the same meaning, he went up to Jason Light and sort of said, "Hey, you like that? This is me. You like that?" And that's not the exact quote, but that was the meaning. Light expressed it as he came up to me and said, "You know, did I bring you what you asked for? Is this what you wanted?" And pretty cool. And Jensen, really, having talked to him several times, he's very down to earth, very focused, and you know, just takes a lot of pride in what he's doing and genuinely enjoys it. And that's the part of the physical nature that he brings that I think maybe gets a little lost. He just enjoys hitting people and playing to the whistle. And yeah, he got a personal foul in the last game, shoving a defensive back for no reason. It was stupid, but you got to forgive it because you're just going to get that a couple of times. And he probably knows better with the way that went down. However, it was sort of on the line. You know, I couldn't really tell when the whistle blew, but I thought that was neat that Jensen cared enough about his performance and his contract. And he's a unique guy. He takes the money end of this and the performance end very seriously. This was a guy who went out of his way to sort of force the Bucks and the Colts to agree that he was going to make two real free agent visits before he made any decision, and no team at all was going to be allowed to corner him and say, you know, don't leave the building. We'll give you this and sign here. He dictated that, no, I want to do this as a professional. I want to experience it. I want them to know me. I want to know them. I want to think about it. I don't want to rush into anything. I'm doing free agency my way in the most serious way I can for myself and for my fit. And he's a happy guy. You know, I got a chance to bowl next to him at Donovan Smith's charity event back in May. He had just gotten here. An intense guy, nice guy to talk to. He's loosened up a lot more now that he knows some of the media, and he just, you know, clearly is, you know, just much more comfortable in the locker room. But I thought that was pretty cool. And Jensen played well again. Not perfect. Maybe he's not an all-pro center, but he's good. He's an upgrade. And I do sort of see that some of that mentality rubbing off. Now, watching the Bucks line play against the Eagles line, sure, Benenock got roasted. And Marpet got beat up a couple of times. It's going to happen. And I just thought that was neat, though. Very telling Jason Light to tell that story of a free agent coming up to him and saying that. And can you imagine Chris Baker doing something like that? Anti-swaggy, Mr. Ryan Jensen. Also, yesterday in the locker room after the game, Marcus Williams was there late. And I got a chance to talk to him one-on-one. And you might be saying, who's Marcus Williams? Well, he's a cornerback who the Bucks picked up last week, and he got thrown into the game yesterday. In fact, what I'm quite certain was his first snap, I forget who he came in for that got hurt, doesn't really matter, but the Eagles went right after him, and he made a nice clean tackle. He's a guy who had six picks with the Jets a few years back and was with New Orleans this training camp, got cut late, was on the street, and the Buccaneers picked him up. Now, I asked him about coming here, and did he have any connection to anybody, and how did that go down? And literally, he said he was called out of the blue last week. You know, we want you. Come on down. If it works out, if we like you, we'll sign you right away, and let's play some ball. So he did just that, obviously. And I'm just looking it up here while I'm talking. But I asked Williams, who's been on the Texans. He was in the Saints locker room this summer. He was with the Jets when the Jets were good, when they were 10-6, and he felt that season until it collapsed under Fitzpatrick at the very end, and they didn't make the playoffs. He's been with some other teams, so he's been around. And I just asked him his vibe on the team, and he really went out of his way to say that it's a very business-like feel to a 2-0 team, that no one was sort of taking the win over the top, and you know, not a lot of hooting and hollering and celebration. And he kind of liked that. He had a real good feeling about that. And so just a little peek from a guy who, you know, has no real ties, a true outsider coming in. He ended up playing 8 snaps yesterday and 16 snaps on special teams. But his only connection with the Bucks was not any coaches or anything or any players other than one, and that would be Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is their third team together, Texans, Jets, and here he is now. And he had some nice things to say about Fitz. But hey, Williams started for a couple years, and he's played a lot of games. He's not old. Maybe he can contribute a little bit as the Bucks figure out the cornerback rotation and all that. So 27 years old, undrafted guy, and hey, he played all right for his little preview here. I don't think he's going away anytime soon. Dirk Koetter was on the Buccaneers radio network on Friday. He does this call-in show, which I think is super cool. It's just rapid-fire questions from fans through a variety of platforms. It's the best of the coaches' show they've ever done. Koetter keeps it real. I don't really think he knows how to do too much otherwise. Sometimes he gets a little cranky when he doesn't want to answer the question and doesn't realize that he doesn't really have to, and he can be nicer about it, but I don't care. He can be however he wants. On that show, though, he was asked a question that if the media asked, he probably would have been pissed off, but because he's shied away from talking about his changed role without calling plays, But he was asked by a fan, you know, sort of what's the bonus, what has he learned most, and how's that going for him, not calling plays, what's he doing with his time? And Cutter said, I'll read you the quote, that he's had, quote, more time to talk to players individually. I found myself going over to talk to guys that were out of the game more than I ever did before. And, okay, I listened to that. That's nothing too extreme. But later in the news conference after the game yesterday, he was asked about the Bucks corners and how they stepped up to play better, not great, but better, against the Eagles. And he started talking about Ryan Smith, and I've watched literally every minute, every video of Cutter's public speaking as a Buccaneers head coach, and I've been in front of him for the majority, whether it be at an owner's meeting or at a news conference. I'm sure I've been to at least 50%. And you know what? In person or watching all of them on video, Cutter appeared last night in person to get choked up when he started talking about Ryan Smith. And I wrote that story on the website today. I think you should read it. He got choked up just talking about, you know, how much abuse Ryan Smith has taken. Now, it wasn't clear whether the abuse is from all the all the receivers who have roasted Ryan Smith over the last year plus. I mean, he started 10 games last year, and he really wasn't a starter. And they had no pass rush. I mean, that's a guy who's taken abuse. It was also his first year. They had him as an experimental safety, and that didn't go right in his rookie year. But maybe it was media abuse, too. And we wrote on JoeBucksFan.com, you know, don't start the guy and keep him off the field as a defensive player. That was before the Saints game. And I don't feel bad about it. We're here to be straight. Ryan Smith, sure, he could develop, but he hadn't, and he had a bad preseason, and he was bad last year. And Rondae Barber himself was out there saying publicly before the draft, Ryan Smith looks like he could be a number four corner in this league. Well, that's not exactly a great endorsement. And then your leadership goes out and drafts 2 second-round corners and has Brent Grimes as well as Vernon Hargraves, who they think is going to come back. So they sort of were calling Ryan Smith, without saying it, a number five corner or a bubble guy, a special teams guy. But Cutter got choked up. And my point is that I think this bonding, this extra time that Cutter has to bond with players, especially on defense, that's reflected in his getting a little choked up about Ryan Smith. He's becoming more of the head coach of this entire football team. And considering how much he's beloved by the offensive players and liked overall and how a lot of guys have respect for him, I think that can only help. I think that can only help. So good for Cutter for loving his guys. And I don't know what this abuse is he's talking about, but he didn't glare at me. So, and actually it was Lee DeCapper who wrote that Ryan Smith piece, but I've blasted Ryan Smith myself. So he is not immune and he deserved it, but he had a hell of a game yesterday for Ryan Smith. And, you know, he's had his share of interception opportunities. He's just got to squeeze the ball when it comes to him. But he played better. His tackling was sure. He's a star on special teams. I talked to him in the locker room when Josh Robinson was cut. And I asked him, you know, hey, is your role going to change any bit on special teams? You know, your special teams captain is gone. And you think he'll take over some of those duties, or just to get his impressions on Robinson. You know, sometimes media, we're stuck asking what sounds like stupid questions. And a lot of times fans think we're idiots, which I get it. But sometimes there's no such thing as a dumb question because you don't know what the player is going to answer, right? So if you get a great answer to a dumb question, well, all of a sudden it's a fantastic question. And I understand that Ryan Smith had a job to do on special teams. He's working as a gunner and other roles. And I know that he's just going to be covering kicks like he always was. But Smith's response was, hey, you know, was just that, hey, I'm just there to run down, hit people, focus on it and lay my body out. And he's really good. And at special teams, we've seen him grow into that role as a cover guy. Of course, the Bucks tried him out as a kick returner, and he was the worst in the NFL a couple of years ago. But hey, you know, he's enough of an athlete and he's proven that he's resilient enough where he might just have a future here as that number three, number four corner and good special teams guy will take it. And maybe an emergency returner. So there's hope. Hope for Ryan Smith. Hope for everything with this fantastic Buccaneers win and this 2-0 record. I've got more to talk about, but I do want to remind you, Discount Garage Doors, the website, dgdoors.com. And get yourself over to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Lifetime warranty, new cars, pre-owned vehicles, and that's for everybody. That's not just for Joe Bucks fan listeners. That's for everybody. And let them know you heard about it on JoeBucksFan.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, right there on Dale Mabry, north of the stadium. Hey, back to the game. You know, defensively, sure, we could sit here and break down deficiencies and issues, and I've rewatched the game, and we'll get the film coming out on Tuesday. Whatever. You know, nobody thought this Bucs defense was going to be extraordinary, especially once the defensive line depth was decimated and losing Hargraves and Grimes. I mean, come on. But they've pulled together, and the best part of all this is the experience that the young guys are getting. And even if you just peek at the snap counts, 97% of the snaps for Carlton Davis, 85% of the defensive snaps for MJ Stewart, 90% for Ryan Smith, who we just talked about. That's a lot of time for these guys to learn and to get better faster, right? Jordan Whitehead comes in, boom. You know, he's hitting, he's doing what he did in preseason. He's playing 50% of the snaps. One guy that you're probably wondering about is Noah Spence. Noah Spence, inactive. I've got a picture of him. I'm going to write something later on Joe Bucks Fan about him on the sideline. He spent a lot of time on the sideline coaching up Carl Nassib, the new guy. And so, sure, how can I tell? Well, when I'm watching the game, when I can, I'm always looking at the sideline through my camera, through my video camera. So I'm not recording. Sometimes I am, but I'm watching through the camera so I can see really up close. I mean, I can read lips through that thing. I can do a lot through that camera all the way from the press box. And Spence is showing Nassib moves. They're going over moves. I mean, you know, different kinds of rip moves and all kinds of stuff during the break in play. And Spence was very smiley, very much involved. He looks smaller than he was in training camp, and he slowly sort of got smaller as training camp went on. We remember the whole scene of for some reason, he reported in 2017 down to 229 pounds. This is a guy who came out of college at 250, and he was considered small back then. Then this year he comes in, he's all bulked up, everybody's on ESPN and wherever is writing about his massive weight gain and his massive diet, and he looks chiseled, and then his body started to fall apart second half of training camp. Doesn't mean he was hurt. He looked not like the chiseled guy. He looks thinner now, and I can't tell you for sure what's going on. I've heard a lot of things from a lot of different people, but he is still on the team, and I do want to say that he's engaged. So it's something that's interesting, and I'm glad to see that he's a team guy, clearly highly engaged in the game. Nassib, you know, 43% of the snaps for this guy. The Browns didn't want him. He's got a great motor. Anthony Becht was talking about his motor on local radio this morning, that he's just an every down effort guy, and they probably like that. He also drops in coverage, which is kind of interesting. He looks awkward doing it, but he seems to get the job done. Yeah, which gives them a little bit of a different dimension when they can show five and drop Nassib. I don't think they've had that guy before, and you don't want to drop JPP. But JPP and McCoy out there grinding away on those snaps again. Both of them played most of the game, large majority of the game. Eagles controlled time of possession. So Pierre Paul out there for 67 snaps in that heat on a wrenched knee or whatever happened to him. Impressive stuff. He was better, and I was really impressed that he was better. And you know what? The Bucs were better. They played a clean game where it was the Eagles that were sloppy, which is fantastic. Think about that. Super Bowl champs came in here, and they were sloppy. And the conditions usually lead to sloppy play. When you're not ready for the environment, that's when your mind goes, right? When you're worn down by heat or whatever. The Eagles came in and they were sloppy. The Bucs had four penalties. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff by the Bucs. And look, Dirk Cutter's theme is discipline driven. Ryan Fitzpatrick said last night, hey, you know, when Coach Cutter talks to us about discipline, Cutter won't talk to the media about what this discipline stuff means. But I've talked to some players and that's been the focus, man, of this team is stay disciplined in everything you do on and off the field. The off the field, you know, sort of was triggered by all the stuff that happened this year with Jameis and, you know, stuff behind the scenes with other players. There's always something on every team going on, but it's impressive what they've done so far. And I like the growth from the, you know, that the defensive players, the young guys, are inevitably going to get. All right, I wanted to throw this out there really just because I was thinking about it, and it's something that has to be thought of at $1, and you know it's a question that the Glazers are eventually going to be asking. What do you do with Ryan Fitzpatrick from a contract standpoint and Jameis Winston? If you think about it from a contract standpoint and the money, it starts to get complicated because Fitz is a free agent after this year. He's only making a few million dollars. He's a massive bargain. And you would think right now, as we stand here on Monday, September 17th, unless there's a breakdown, unless something catastrophic happens with this team, they're going to have a winning record, right? 9-7. They should at least go 9-7. Dirk Cutter's coming back. Everybody's coming back. The offense is coming back, and you're going to want Ryan Fitzpatrick back. If he's not hurt, you want him back. Now, maybe they switch to Jameis. Maybe they don't. Who knows? But Ryan Fitzpatrick, you want him back next year. Well, if he's re-energized, which he seems to be, and he wants to keep playing football, you think he's going to play for $3 million again when the going rate for a top backup quarterback is $7 million? And suppose Fitz does play well this year. Suppose they ride Fitz to a 10-6 record and they have a wild card game and they're in the playoffs and everything looks great with Fitz. Well, then what? He's going to want starter money and you're due to pay Jameis Winston $21 million next year. So it's dicey for the Bucs in a sense of planning, right? They want to re-sign Quan Alexander. They want to re-sign Donovan Smith, two guys who are going to make a lot of money who have played well in the opening run here. Absolutely, they like the way those guys have played, and Ali Marpet's not a guy they want to get rid of. So you got contract decisions, but quarterback still remains the most important position. And it would be criminal to let Fitz walk out the door next year because you don't want to spend, you know, a fortune at quarterback. Or you know, it's very interesting as the way they might be thinking at $1. So if it's me, I try to get Fitz signed. If you're 3-1 at the bye week and everything's looking good, I try to get Fitz signed at the bye week, restructure his contract, get him in here for next year so you have some flexibility, so you don't have to worry about anything, and make it worth his while and reward him for what he's done to sign that contract early rather than later, when it could get messy. Remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick held out on the Jets. He had a massive holdout, didn't report till right before camp after his 10-6 season with the Jets. They ended up paying him. They caved, and then he had a crappy season in 2016. He got lost his job midway through. The Jets fell apart, and then he was thinking of retiring. Do I put it past Fitz to hold out again? If he feels he has the leverage and he wants one more payday, I don't put it past him at all. So the Bucs have to be smart about this. Best case scenario, which is them riding this wave all the way to the playoffs. You know, I'm not rooting for him to lose. You know, if they're 5-1 with Fitz, 6-2, and hey, they stumble to 8-5 and he gets them back to 9-5 and they finish 10-6 and they're in the playoffs or something. Hey, I just want to win football games, and so do the Bucks. So they have to figure out the Fitz thing before it becomes a problem. I would do it sooner rather than later, so I'm just throwing it out there, something to think about. And the best part for me about this podcast is I don't have to make a prediction for next week because we're going to have a Monday Morning Joe leading up to the Steelers game. So I'm 2-0 so far. I've predicted two Bucks wins. I feel good about that. And that just wasn't me throwing crap against the wall. I really felt that everything was right for them to win those games. And now I get some more breathing room to see who's healthy, who's not, who's going to play for the Steelers. We'll see if Le'Veon Bell appears. It'll be interesting stuff. But enjoy the week, Bucks fans. We've got a lot for you on JoeBucksFan.com. Please check out our other podcasts. We got a lot. And this podcast, you can find it iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. I appreciate listening to my ramble, which is really what this podcast is. Just rambling thoughts out of the week of the Bucks and the game that we just enjoyed. So, all right. I appreciate it. See you next week.